Welcome to the audio of a sermon preached at Westminster Presbyterian Church in Roanoke, Virginia. We're so glad that you have taken the time to come and listen to one of our preached sermons. We invite you to join us for worship on Sundays at 10:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m., and to visit our website, westpca.org, for more information.
Well, as the children head out to Children's Church, if you would take out your Bibles and open up with me to 1 Peter chapter 5. The passage we're looking at this morning is a difficult one to preach, not because the passage is somehow difficult to understand. It's actually fairly straightforward. The difficulty is that four of these verses are addressed specifically to elders. You'll notice that there in verse 1 and even verse 4, while addressing younger people, he still seems to have the position of elder, or that close synonym in verse 2, oversight or bishop, positional leadership in mind. Which means that most of us, as we read this passage, have that temptation to say, well, I'm not an elder, so I guess Peter's not talking to me. Which on the one hand is technically correct, except that verse 3 says being examples to the flock, being types, literally, being prototypes to the flock, to the congregation. Elders are supposed to be those who not only shepherd the flock, but also set an example for everyone else in the flock to follow. Which means that as we study this passage, we can't simply assume that because we're not elders, this passage has nothing else to say to us. Actually, the opposite is true, that as we consider the behavior of those in positions of leadership, they are behaviors that we should all aspire to, characteristics and attitudes and behaviors that we should all be seeking to put into practice. As the elders set an example, and as the Church of Jesus Christ follows their example in order to grow in holiness. So with that in mind then, let us look at how this passage applies to all of us, beginning here in verse 1 where he says, I exhort the elders among you, as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly. Not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility towards one another, for God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we pray that as we study your word, that you would indeed open it up to us, help us to understand it. Help us to apply it to our lives. By the grace of your word, by the grace of your Holy Spirit, drive your word deep into our hearts, deep into our minds. Change us, transform us, that we might both grow in our faith in you, but also grow in holiness, in being more like you. For it's in you we pray. Amen. There is a story that has been told of a horrific accident that took place one day. It injured many. And there was a bystander, a woman, who rushed into action and began assisting many of the injured people. When another woman came up and said, ma'am, excuse me, but I'm a nurse. I have been trained in CPR. Please let me take over. And so the first woman graciously moved aside and the nurse began to work. And finally the first woman leaned over her shoulder and she said, well, when you get to the point where you need a doctor, I'm right behind you. Well, we often talk about having greatness foisted upon us, but sometimes we have humility forced upon us, humiliation in many cases. It would be better if we were simply humble to begin with so that we wouldn't have to be humiliated. And that's really what Peter's focus is in our passage this morning. He's really focused on humility, as he finally says there in verse 5, clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility towards one another. Peter really breaks it down quite simply in our passage. He's talking to two groups of people that he expects to be humble. He wants us to be humble in leadership, but he also wants us to be humble in following. That topic of humble in leadership is really there in verses 1 through 4 as it addresses those in the position of elders, calling them to lead, calling them to shepherd the flock, but to do so in humility. And Peter begins with his own humility as he himself sets an example for the elders. This is what humility looks like, so that then the elders can set an example for the flock of this is what humility looks like. Verse 1, he says, I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder. There's a lot of terms that Peter could have used to describe himself here. Apostle is the one that comes to mind first. Peter could have basically said, do you know who I am? I'm Peter. I'm the apostle. I'm one of the 12 apostles. I'm one of the 12 people who is going to sit on the 12 thrones in glory, judging the 12 thrones of Israel. I'm one of those to whom was originally given the powers of the keys of the kingdom of heaven. One of those who has the privilege of writing scripture. How many books of the Bible have you written? You need to listen to me. And what does Peter call himself? He says, I'm a fellow elder. Peter basically says, look, I don't outrank you. I don't outrank you. I have authority, I have power, but I don't have any more authority or any power than any other elder. He doesn't say, you have to listen to me because I walked with Christ. He says, no, I'm one of you. I'm one of you. It's a good reminder to all of those of us who serve in positions of leadership or serve in any type of leadership in a church that leaders in a church are just as much members of the body of Christ as anyone else. Just like everyone else, called to a position of leadership by God as part of his unique gifting that he gives to all of us. Each of us has been called in a particular way. Even as Peter says there in verse 2, serve as God would have you. Peter recognizes the calling of God in his life. He recognizes that he's been called to an elder, but he also recognizes he's not the only one who's been called. He recognizes that to some degree everyone has a calling as part of their belonging to the body of Christ. Peter even recognizes he's not the only one called to leadership. There are other elders in the church called in the same way. He's one of many who have been called to serve in that capacity. And so Peter is reminding the elders of that right here at the very beginning. As Peter says, look, I'm a fellow elder. I'm one of you. But then he takes it a step further in verse 1 when he says that he was a witness of the sufferings of Christ. Consider the fact that Peter was with Christ his entire life, the entire time of his ministry. Peter saw everything. There's so many things that he could have mentioned. He could have said, I was a witness to the resurrection. I saw the risen Christ. Instead, he picks that one point in time that was the time of Peter's greatest failure, the sufferings of Christ. This is very equivalent to Paul's I am the worst of sinners speech, because Peter here is picking that moment of Christ's suffering when Peter was denying Christ. Not once, not twice, but three times denying him. And just in case Peter's audience didn't sense his humility when he says, I'm a fellow elder, he has to take it that step further. Just in case they say, well, sure, you're an elder, but you were with Christ. Peter says, well, yes, I was with Christ. I was with him. I was there. I saw the crucifixion. I saw him as I was abandoning him, as I was turning my back on him, as I was denying him, saying that I didn't know who he was. You want to talk about humiliation, says Peter. You want to talk about humility. I denied the Lord, he says. I'm a sinner just like you. The fact that Peter has this in mind is further strengthened there in his first statement in verse 2. He says, shepherd the flock, literally shepherd the sheep, recalling that statement that Jesus made to Peter when he reinstates him in John 21, feed my sheep, love my sheep, be with my sheep, care for my sheep. Peter is saying here, not only am I a fellow elder, not only am I just a fellow servant of the body of Christ, but I'm also a fellow sinner. I crashed and burned. I failed miserably. I've been there. I'm a failure. I'm a screw-up, says Paul, or says Peter, just like the Apostle Paul. I blew it. I'm no better than you. If anything, says Peter, you could almost argue that I'm worse than you because I denied Christ. Maybe not the worst of sinners, since Paul has claimed that, but a close second. And yet, this failure doesn't negate the calling to set an example, as Peter still is reminding his audience that he too needs Christ. He's setting an example in humility, but he's also setting an example in repentance and saying, I need Christ. Which leads then to Peter's final emphasis of humility there in verse 1. I am also a fellow partaker of the glory to be revealed. Peter is rejoicing that despite his sin, he hasn't somehow been disqualified from service. He hasn't even been disqualified from the body of Christ. Instead, Peter is saying, look, I'm in the same boat as you. I've been called to serve. I have failed in that calling. I have failed to do what I was supposed to do, and yet I have been forgiven. I'm a sinner saved by grace, just like you, says Peter. I'm a saint who continues to sin, just like you. I'm no different than you. Different callings, sure, but still called. Different sins, but still a sinner, but the same gospel, the same Christ, part of that same body of believers who will receive the same glory in the end. We're all in this together, says Peter, all of us, under grace, in Christ, redeemed from sin. Some of you may remember the television show Friends from the mid-90s to about 2004. It was a show that's actually regained some popularity just in the last couple of months, especially among high schoolers today. For those of you who aren't familiar with the show, basically the show follows the life of six friends, three guys, three girls. They live in apartments across the hall from each other. When the show first started in 1994, all six of the actors and actresses had just about the same amount of screen time. And because of that, they were all paid the same. And yet as the show went on and storylines began to develop, there were certain actors and actresses who got more screen time and because of that began to be paid more. But then something happened that, to my knowledge, has never happened again. The two highest paid actors and actresses of the six went to the producers and demanded a pay cut. They said, no, all six of us are crucial to this television show. It is unfair for you to pay us more, even if we're on the screen more. All of us are crucial. You will pay us exactly the same. And so the producers did that. They cut the pay of those two highest paid. The other four received a raise. And for the next 8 years, all six actors and actresses received the exact same pay, regardless of screen time, which worked out well for all of them. They all became very wealthy off of that show and off of the reruns that continue. But they had that attitude. All of us are the same. Everyone wins. Everyone receives the same reward. That's what Peter is saying here. Peter is saying this is how the church should function. In humility, there's nobody who can say, I get more of a reward than the rest of you. Because Peter recognizes, look, we're all partakers of the same glory. We're all redeemed by the same Christ. Everyone receives the same salvation, and everyone should serve humbly, according to how they've been called. And yet, this is not just an attitude that Peter is exhibiting here. It's an attitude that he exhorts. He even says there in verse 1, I exhort you, says Peter. I call upon you as elders to lead, to shepherd with this sense of humility, willing to acknowledge that you are called by God to serve in positions of leadership, but also willing to admit that you fail and that you make mistakes. That you have failed and have made mistakes and will fail again, and yet in the midst of acknowledging those mistakes, being willing to repent and to trust in the gospel, to trust in the same Christ, the same forgiveness, the same salvation and glory that you are calling others to. Unfortunately, though, we live in a culture that defines hypocrisy as pointing out someone else's faults while struggling with your own. Basically, our world has bought into the idea that only perfect people have the right to point out sin. And since there are no perfect people, since all of us struggle with one thing or another, you can't talk to me about what I'm doing wrong. Peter here says in verse 2, as he's explaining to the elders of what they're supposed to do, he's pointing out that humility is not just keeping your mouth shut. He's not calling for silence. He's not saying none of you can talk to any of the rest of you because you're all in the same boat. No, he says humility is saying we are in this together. I'm no better than you. I'm a sinner, and I'm going to speak up and I'm going to say something about your sin, not because I'm perfect, but because I know firsthand the damage that sin does. Because I know firsthand the grace of God and I want you to know that same grace. I'm going to simultaneously declare to you sin, even as I declare my own failure. Humility is not claiming perfection. Humility is claiming that you need to repent, even as I say the same thing about myself. We're in this together. We both knew need to repent. Peter knew the agony of complete and utter failure. As Jesus looked at Peter across the courtyard, as if to say, Peter, I told you so. I told you you were going to deny me. And Peter went out and wept. And yet Peter, having been restored by Christ, having been forgiven, calls others to also repent and find the same forgiveness as he. Not saying I'm better than you, in fact saying I really messed up. And yet setting an example of humble repentance, leading others to the foot of the cross by example. Because ultimately the goal of humility, as Peter is describing it here, is not simply a virtue to be pursued for virtue's sake. The ultimate aim of what Peter is talking about here is really the good of the sheep. That is his ultimate goal. The good of the flock, the care of the sheep, is the real goal of humble leadership. Not for shameful or unjust gain there in verse 2, not for the sake of domineering or being on a power trip in verse 3, not even under compulsion, as though serving in leadership simply because a warm body was needed to fill that particular position, but willingly out of a desire to serve, eagerly serving, says Peter, as examples to the flock, because the focus is on the good of the flock, the good of the sheep. Even though Peter doesn't use the word, we might even say the love of the sheep. The shepherd loves the flock. That's why Peter is calling for this humility. What does this look like in practical sense? Yes, it looks like an attitude of humility, well displayed by Peter here. Fellow Christian, fellow sinner, a redeemed child of God, destined for glory. But Peter is really calling for action. It's one thing to say that I have an attitude that says I'm just like you, but Peter's goal here is to get those who are called by God to lead, to actually lead in humility, placing the needs of the flock before their own immediate needs, serving in a capacity that brings others along to that same glory of which they partake. Because there is a type of humility that says the words, even has the attitudes, we're all in this together, but that attitude often stops at, I'm no better than you. But it's possible to say, I'm no better than you, we're all sinners, and still not care about you. Still not care about the other person. I'm not better than you, but frankly, I'm really not that concerned about you either. That would be just an attitude of humility. And yet what Peter is calling for here is not just a humility that says, I'm no better than you, but one that loves the sheep, that is shepherding the sheep in the midst of humility, that says, I'm no better than you, but also has a desire to lead the sheep, to lead the flock to Christ, to lead them to the gospel towards that forgiveness of sin. That's why we point out sin, even as we humbly repent of our own, because we love the sheep, we love each other, and we want people to come to repentance. We want them to come to a knowledge of Jesus Christ. It's a recognition that being a part of the body of Christ is not just about me and Jesus. It's not even just about me and a few close friends in Jesus. It's about the body of Christ, all of us growing in godliness, growing in Christ-likeness. It's about all of us pursuing that same goal and actually being concerned that the other sheep are headed in that same direction. And it's not just, well, I know where I'm headed, but it's actually being concerned and loving our fellow sheep in a desire to see them move towards the gospel. For some, that's going to mean an actual position of leadership in the local church, sacrificing time and effort and energy in order to teach and to train and to shepherd, to build relationships. And yet, whether we serve in positions of official leadership or not, this is how we should all view each other. In humility, I am in this together, but also in a humility that recognizes we are in this together. There is a we of which we are a part, and that loves and cares for one another in humility and desires to see each other grow in humility, and a willingness to sacrifice time and effort in service in order to help others grow. Some of this simply means, even as we just said in the membership vows that were taken, supporting the church in its worship and work. Simply being here in worship on a regular basis to encourage one another, to be together, to spur one another on to love and good works, to set that example of being together so that we can see each other worshiping. And yet in humility, that also means seeking out relationships with others in the body of Christ so that we can set an example, so that we can encourage and spur that person on directly. I think it's one of the reasons why Peter mentions humility and hospitality at the end of chapter 4, encouraging hospitality so that we're in each other's homes, so that we get to know each other, so that we're building those relationships with one another, so that we can humbly serve one another and spur each other on. It's why Titus in Titus 2 talks about the older men teaching the younger men and the older women teaching the younger women, in humility challenging each other to be more like Christ. We can't simply say, well, I'm older, so I've served my time is done. Peter says, no, in humility, you need to be challenging those who are younger. Spur them on, shepherd them, perhaps not as positional elders, but as their elders, simply older than them. Peter doesn't just want an attitude of humility. Peter wants action. He doesn't want a situation like our opening illustration of the doctor and the nurse, where the nurse says, well, guess the doctor has it in hand. I guess I'm just going to go home. But a situation where the nurse says, okay, doctor, what can I do to help? And the doctor might say, well, I'm a doctor, but my CPR certification is expired. So you do the CPR and I'll assist you. Where the doctor and the nurse are working together, both of them being humble, recognizing we are in this together and our goal is the good of the patient. In the context of a church, working together for the good of the sheep. Working together hand in hand, where we all seek in humility to shepherd one another and to encourage one another, all while having that attitude that says, we're in this together. Our goal is really to see one another grow. Our goal is to see the church of Christ grow, to glorify Christ. Peter doesn't just say shepherd a flock. He doesn't just say even shepherd the flock, but the flock of God. It belongs to him. Peter is acknowledging, look, there is a good shepherd who is over this flock that we are ultimately serving together. And so we are serving one another in humility as leaders called to those positions, but also as members of Christ's church. Not just because we love the sheep, but because we love God and we recognize that the church is his flock. Even as Peter says in verse 2, as God would have you. In humility, we're seeking to serve one another. We're seeking to love God. In fact, we're loving God in our display of love towards others, of leading others humbly. Our focus isn't on pleasing others, it's on pleasing God as we pursue that reward for the good shepherd there in verse 4. All of this, this humility, this leadership, this service, all of it is aimed at the glory of God. All of it is aimed at bringing honor and glory to him as we seek the good of the flock, as we serve each other, serve the flock in humility, not serving ourselves, not serving our own agendas, not our own glory, but the glory of God, as we're seeking to lead each other towards Christ, leading each other towards godliness, that together we might grow and glorify God. But Peter also addresses not just humility in leading, he also addresses humility in following. As we follow our elders, those in leadership over us, he says, verse 5, likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility towards one another, for God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Again, even as in verse 1, the elders here refers to those in positions of leadership who are positionally elders, not just those who are older. And yet the same idea would apply to those who are simply older. Those who are more experienced in the Christian life. Just as there is a tendency in humility to falsely assume, well, we're the same, so I can't say anything, there's also a tendency for us to say, you're just the same as me, so why should I listen to you? You're just as messed up as me. Why do I need to listen to you? You're a sinner. You admitted to that yourself, so why would I listen to you? Peter targets the younger here because, let's face it, it's often the younger who often struggle to listen to others. Those who are older, though, as Peter knows and as he's already talked about, elders have been around the block enough to know that they don't always know. They often are more humble because they know how much they don't know, and they're willing to gain wisdom and advice from others. And so Peter is challenging the younger. He's saying, look, you need to be more like the older. You need to listen. You need to recognize you don't know anything. So Peter singles them out and basically says, okay, look, you youngins, you need to listen to your elders. You need to listen up here. Listen to those who are trying to teach you. Listen to those who are trying to encourage you and shepherd you. This naturally applies in our submission to those who are in positions of eldership, as we recognize from verses 1 through 3, that they are in positions of leadership because they're serving God, because they've been called by God to serve us. So that when they strive to shepherd us, we need to actually listen to them humbly. We need to recognize that as elders, they have been put in those positions of leadership for our good, to shepherd the flock. We need to recognize that. It would be foolish for us to ignore that and simply think we know better. And not just those who are in positions of leadership, but simply those who are older and wiser. Those who are elders in a more mature sense, that simply know more. There's a great deal of wisdom in this room that we would all be wise to listen to and to take advantage of. And sometimes that's not even just related specifically to age, although Peter means age when he says younger here, because sometimes it's that person who is older and more mature in the faith that we need to listen to, even if they are younger than us. They might have more experience as a Christian than we do, even though they are younger. Paul reminds Timothy, Timothy, set an example for the believers. Don't let them look down on you because you are young, but set an example for them. Peter's saying the same thing here. Look, it's great that he has called us all in humble service to one another, but it doesn't do any good if we're not willing to listen to each other. And so Peter is saying here, look, listen. Listen to those who are trying to lead you. Listen to those who are trying to tell you about Christ. Listen to them. Learn from them. Allow them to shepherd you. Because that's really the only way that this idea of shepherding, this idea of ironing sharpens iron, it's the only way that it works. It doesn't do any good to have wise elders and wise leaders if we won't listen to them. It doesn't do any good to seek to serve others and to shepherd others if they won't learn from us. In order for growth to take place in the church, we must have those who are willing to lead, those who are willing to shepherd. We must have attitudes of service towards one another humbly, seeking to lead each other towards the cross, but we also must be willing in humility to follow and to learn from others and to let them shepherd us. So what Peter is really calling for is both here. He's calling for us in humility to lead one another to the cross, but also in humility to follow one another towards the cross, so that together, as we humbly serve one another, we might indeed grow in godliness and grow to be more like Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the calling that you have given us, the privilege that you have given us to lead one another to the cross. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you would indeed call us to that, indeed use us in that. Give us the grace to actually put that into action, that we might indeed lead others to you. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that you would indeed give us the humility to listen, that we would learn from others, and that we would be willing to follow as well as lead. For it's in you we pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for this particular sermon. Please visit our website, westpca.org, for more information on services and additional sermons.